Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The NBA draft is an absolute disaster. It really has become a joke. It went from must-watch to, really, I'm starting to avoid watching it. The NBA draft coverage is deplorably bad at this point.
I didn't really get into it last night. I saw a lot of it on social media and was just paying attention to it that way, and that's unfortunately now the way of these drafts where you're just like, you go on social media, boom, this team's going to take this player, and then you see a bunch of the clips on there. It did make me a little nostalgic and miss how much I used to love it. Although it is convoluted and always has been, and maybe even now more so than ever, with the trading of the picks and the changing of the hats and the jerseys. Like, that was a thing years ago. Like, this player selected by so-and-so, and then he's traded 5 minutes later to the Bucks. And then really what was happening last night, my friends in a group chat, and they were sending me some stuff from, like, the 2018 draft.
Okay.
Where you saw just the ineptitude of either the announcers or the Knicks themselves. Like, oh, no, the Knicks shouldn't take Shai Gilgeous-Alexander because they have Frank Ntilikina and Moutier or whatever it was.
Oh,
like,
God, oh, almighty, God.
But so these things really you don't know about until years down the road. But especially without the Knicks having a first-round pick, for me, it didn't really do much.
Well, listen, I was watching the Yanks and the Mets, obviously. And then, of course, I knew it was on. And I'm going to probably be more tuned in tonight. I want to see if R.J. Lewis, some St. John stories, maybe Kadari Richmond, late second round, whatever. So that I'm more interested in that. Of course, I wanted to see what the Nets did last night. I am surprised the Nets didn't find a way to make a trade. Not that I want to do a ton of net stuff right now, but you have 5 picks. You take 4 guards. You don't move up. I don't know what the hell they were doing. It was weird. And, you know, not to knock the 3 international prospects they took. I don't know anything about them. They took 2 domestic kids who wanted Michigan State and the other from Duke. So there's a little name recognition there. But I texted Stephen A. last night because I actually forgot what channel the draft was on, right? You know, because everything's changed over there. Who the hell knows? I used to always know what channel this stuff was on. Now I don't. And I actually found it quickly. I'm like, oh, it's probably on ESPN. So I put it on, and I think it was like Malika Andrews and Big Perk and Jay Billis and, I don't know, somebody else. And I don't see Stephen A., right? I text Stephen A. I'm like, dude, can you please go and save this show? This show needs some juice. This is rough. Why aren't you working this? And he's like, I am. I was like, I'm on ABC. And then to be honest with you, I was so disinterested from what I watched at that point. I didn't even go to ABC. I just went back to the Yankees and the Mets. Now, this is the biggest problem, and I will defend the NBA in this regard. It's this. I don't know how they can help this. The problem with the draft is there's no familiarity. And if you don't know somebody, I don't know how you can conjure up any real emotion. Now, growing up, this is a lot of years ago, but you had guys that we watched for 2-3 years, some 4, many 4, back in the day. And you're like, oh, Big East, oh, ACC, oh, Big Ten, here we go. Like, you knew everybody that was drafted. I've seen, like, Edgecombe from Baylor who went 3rd because St. John's played him. If St. John's didn't play him, I wouldn't watch Baylor at all. Nobody knows any of these players, Sal.
Yeah, which is why I can't get into it. I know nothing about them. So why am I supposed to get excited or not excited? Or especially if the Knicks aren't there. So if your team does not have a first-round pick and there's no concern about who they might be taking. And even if they did, it's like, okay, well, years ago we go back to the Obi Toppin Haliburton thing. So, okay, leading up to the draft, you get an idea of who might be available when your team is selecting. You learn a little bit about the players, maybe some you've seen in college, maybe some you don't know overseas, whatever it may be. And you start to think, okay, well, I would take this player because this is what I value. I want a guard or whatever. They need a big, and I like this guy. I like that he's a rebounder. Like, I remember I hated the Kevin Knox pick years ago.
Ugh.
Hated Kevin Knox. Loved the Mitchell Robinson pick, or at least liked it and was intrigued by it because of some of the stuff that they said about him. Hey, he just picked up basketball, but he's got great size and defense and rebounding, all those different things. So there are things you could take away from it. But that's why I can't go nuts about the draft anymore. It's different, too, with the NBA draft versus the NFL draft. With the NFL draft, there's much more of an immediate impact. Where with the NBA draft, who the hell knows with these guys? Even some of the top guys, unless it's a surefire, no doubt about a thing. And then even then, you still don't know, because how many times have we seen those top guys miss?
Well, and then what happens, you know, because they're drafted younger and younger and younger, right, and they're coming in less polished, and they don't quite have that full-grown man strength yet, which I understand that that's part of the process. But a lot of times, these younger players now, they develop at these, you know, moribund franchises or with these moribund franchises, and then as they begin to mature and start to hit stride, they leave. They go to other teams for big money.
Yeah, that's why, just to me, the NBA and the system is broken with the salary cap, with the contracts. It's hard for me to get into outside of the Knicks, even with the Nets. And I'll be rooting for the Nets. Like, I hope the Nets have a good team.
Yeah,
like,
it'd
be fun if they're competent, or maybe they somehow do land Giannis or whatever, and then they can become relevant. I think it could be good for sports talk and for the city, even though the Nets will never be, I don't care how good they get, they'll never be the Knicks. I mean, that's been proven many, many times over. But, like, even I didn't talk to Evan about this, but I think Hoff was saying, or you were saying something.
Hoff was saying, until you reached out to Evan, right? Tell him about the picks.
And he was like, yeah. I mean,
and he was so excited for the draft. That, you know, right? Listen, he doesn't talk Nets all the time, but when Evan talks Nets on the show, you could tell he's genuinely enthusiastic. He loves his team. He knows the roster. You know, he knows Marks. He knows the organization. I guess he was like, whatever. Not a fun night.
Do you think he's more excited about the Nets draft or Juan Soto last night?
Let's see. I think that, I think it was his, I'm trying to think first where his attention was more, because the Nets did have five.
Right.
I think that Evan was, this might be wrong, I think he was more into the Nets last night.
Hoff, you have an answer. Did you guys do a Rico Bronya podcast last night?
We are scheduled to have three Rico Bronyas. The one day off was yesterday. He said, we are not doing a Rico because he's going to be locked into the draft.
Oh, and, so I was right.
And he stayed true to that.
Stayed true to that.
Now, they will be, by the way, their show will be out at Citi Field today for the finale of the Mets and Braves 4-game series. They'll have Pete Alonso on at 3:15. Very curious to see what Pete says.
Wow.
Especially now that he's been going through a little bit of a funk here. All right, so Soto, 888-808-1019. Soto, BT.
Yep.
You know, as the Mets now reach their halfway point, this is it, 81 games so far. Soto, all of a sudden, with this incredible month. And just before we even get into him, I just want to preface it by saying this. Like, you know, when you and I joke around how much I love Soto. Yesterday, we were talking about being a pants-off move with the caller, all that stuff. I've wanted him forever. And there's a reason why. It's not, oh, well, how come you kiss Soto's ass, but you're critical of Pete or this or that? First of all, no player is above getting criticized at any point. If Yankee fans could boo Aaron Judge after he broke the home run record, then that's how we are in this town, and that should be accepted for everybody. But there's a reason why I wanted Juan Soto so bad. There's a reason why I love Juan Soto so much. You're seeing it in June. There are very few players that can do what he has done. Like, there just aren't enough players that are capable of doing that. Now factor in, from the Mets franchise perspective, he's breaking records already with one good month for Juan Soto. He's doing something that's never been done in the history of the Mets. And he hasn't even really gotten going yet. Wait till he starts hitting with guys on base. That'll be a totally different story. But this is the reason why you go out there and get a superstar like this and you pay $765 million because of the player's potential and ability to go on a run like this.
You better keep doing it, because they're going to need it, because I still don't like a lot of the sticks that they roll out there. It's, you know, you beat the Braves, you had to beat them. And listen, he was fantastic, and he's been on this terrific roll. But because of the way this is just a bigger issue pertaining to a season, because the way he started and the way the numbers weren't there, even though he was hitting the ball pretty hard, and we talked about that quite a bit, you know, right now, Juan Soto, in the middle of this tear, and it's a tear, is on pace for 38 home runs, which you'll always take. You'll always take that. And 90 RBIs, which is obviously much lower than you want for a guy with Lindor in front of him. I mean, 90 RBIs, you need more than that.
But in a year where he hasn't been hitting with runners in scoring position and had a very down first 2 months from, can't even say bad because for his bad is better than most. But think about what you're saying here. Oh, 2 weeks ago, the numbers were not projecting that way. If I would have said he's going to hit 30, as a matter of fact, we had this conversation.
Yeah.
And we didn't think he was coming anywhere near that. And the fact that he's going to get right now on pace for 38, whatever you said, 38 homers and 90 RBI in year one, where it was looking like it was going to be a down year for Soto. And that's with one good month. There's still plenty of season left. Like, he's going to end up having a typical Juan Soto season.
I don't know about that, because now, because the way it started, he doesn't have the luxury anymore of having another rough month. I mean, not that, you know, you're going to trade him if he dies. He's no recourse, but statistically speaking, like, if he were to have, whether it's in July or August or September, you know, a month where he hits, and again, I'll keep it up in the neighborhood of his standards. He's not going to look like Pete Alonso's looked for the last 10 days. I can promise you that. I don't think ever he's going to look like that. Let's say in one of those 3 months, he goes 239, you know, OPS 730, like, not horrendous, but obviously a massive drop from what you expect from him. Well, now that's going to absolutely impact the totality of the season, because now it's not one bad month, it's two. So the ride is fun, even as, you know, as somebody who doesn't think long term it's worth the money, even though the Mets had to do it. It's just fun to watch him hit the baseball and square it up and do his thing. But because of the one bad month, you don't really have much of a runway to have another bad one. Otherwise, the numbers are going to, it's going to be a down year one.
Other than the fact that he's human, I have no reason to believe he's going to have a bad month.
Like, yeah, I mean, we'll see. I don't know. I mean, I don't think I'd put money on it to happen, but he better not, unless you guys make another trade, because I don't see anybody else doing anything.
I mean, the Mets team story is a different one. For me, it's about Juan Soto. Like, yesterday is not a great team win. I mean, they barely beat, you know, you win one game out of six against Atlanta. That's embarrassing. So they've got work to do. If they don't follow it up tonight, I'm talking about Soto. And if it were me, I'd be looking, if I'm David Stearns and Steve Cohen, I'm saying, okay, well, you know, we talk about question marks and problems and identifying that. I'm looking at Soto and saying, this is the guy that I want to build everything around. As opposed to some thought that, well, he's going to fit in here with what we had. No. You make it about Juan Soto. That's how great he is. Whatever he wants to do, I don't even care if he's selfish. Did you see some of the, first of all, did you see his reaction to that second home run?
I did. He was very animated.
Because he knew that it broke Jimmy Fox's record for youngest players with multi-home run games, whatever. I personally don't give a crap about that. Multi-home run games before the 27, who cares? Right? But Juan Soto, it's important to him. It's important to me. You know what? You care about it, Juan. I care about it. And then even his excitement in the post game afterward, now he was kind of being like, well, yeah, it's about the team and winning first, which is
about
nice.
With Gelb on the field? In a lot, because he was on the field with Gelb as well.
Yeah, I think in the post game, I saw both, but I think this was in the post. Whatever locker room stuff.
He's very calm. He's just robotic. He's on autopilot.
But he could say, like, it's about, you know, the team and priority of the win, which I do believe to a certain extent. But what really got him excited, like, you can't hide it, was the fact that he broke the record, which is fine. Let him be himself, because he's a beast. He's an animal. He's competitive. He's got all the money. He's not complacent. He wants to be great. I wish everybody else there would have that same attitude and the same confidence to do that. So while Pete Alonso carried them for the first part of the year, Lindor as well, Juan Soto brings a different element that this team has not had, whether you go back to Harvey, who was obviously a pitcher, or Piazza before him. That has been lacking, that alpha male, I am a stud, I got the pitcher beat, and there's nothing they can do about it. Now, again, the only thing that's missing is with guys on base, once he starts clicking through, instead of these solo homers, going to be two-run homers, three-run homers, then it's really going to be taken off. But I think we're witnessing going to be the best offensive player in the history of the New York Mets franchise.
I'm not going to push back on that. I mean, the way you frame that, he should be. I mean, that's what they signed him for. And now you're seeing it. And listen, we saw it last year. We've seen it other years, so it's not stunning. He's a hell of a hitter. I got to tell you, though, like, the selfishness, right? If some people think Juan Soto's selfish, if there's any sport you can be selfish in, it's baseball. Like, if you're selfish in basketball, that is a direct detriment. Like, I'm hunting shots and I'm just doing things out of the concept of the team, either offensively shooting or defensively cheating, which leaves my guy, you know, at risk at the rim, whatever it might be, not doing a defensive assignment. The selfish nature of basketball can kill a team. Even this was a big knock on Mark Gastineau back in the day when he was playing. He was so selfish to get a sack so he could do a stupid dance and get the numbers, right? That he would basically sell out, not and that's why Klecko, Marty Lyons, and Abdul Salam, you know, rest in peace to Abdul. That's why they were really bothered by some of the fact that he was a nut job, Gastineau, and on steroids and all the other stuff. He would not care about stopping the run. His mission was, I want my numbers. Me. And the way you do that is running the ball, whatever. Sack, oh, they're passing, I'm going for it. In baseball, if you're selfish, unless you expand the strike zone, which he never does,
right,
because you don't want to walk, which he does more than anybody historically, then selfishness in baseball is fine. I have no issue with that.
You know, it's a great point that I've never really thought of it like that, because the idea of selfish is not a good thing, especially in team sport.
Always has a negative connotation.
Correct.
But
in this particular case, what's the harm? Now, if he's struggling and takes that into the field with him, whatever, then I could say, hey, you're letting a team down. Like, just because you're struggling,
mm-hmm,
or if the team's winning and he's struggling.
And he's not happy.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was a little bit of that early on, but I don't think it was a detriment to the team. I think he was just trying to get acclimated and obviously frustrated. And it wasn't like he was being all about himself and making it all about him. He was clearly frustrated. I'm sure he was happy that they're winning. But Juan Soto caring about records and being great, that's...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only going to help the team because it's motivation for him to be great, which if he continues to be great, the Mets are going to win more often than not.
And then what happens, and this is more downstream, as these younger prospects, some of whom are still in the minors, right, because we really don't know, even though Mauricio's been starting to show a little bit, finally.
And now he's going to go back down.
I know he is, but at least he goes down with confidence here, right? The standard, and this is about the floor versus the ceiling, you know, the ceiling for the Mets, and the floor's too often been low, and the ceiling has too often hasn't been high enough. And you look at the great franchises, you want young players to look at somebody and say, wow, historically, I mean, look at who I'm playing with. The young now hasn't really made the young Yankee players great yet, but at least they have Aaron Judge to set that tone. And now for the Mets' perspective, even though I think he's a little reticent to be a leader, I don't think he wants to be that. And that's fine. You can have Lindor for that. You don't have to be the leader of everything. Just, you lead by hitting. But the other thing last night that jumped out to me, and I got to tell you, even more than Soto, because I expect Soto to do damage, the fact that Clay Holmes threw up and into Acuña, you mentioned it, up and into Acuña, I circle that more than I circle Soto's night. I didn't know if Holmes had the chops to do it. I know Soto's a hell of a hitter, so tip of the cap to Holmes. It's about freaking time that somebody resisted the Atlanta Braves. And I tweeted about this two nights ago.
Yeah.
I said, who's going to throw? Who's gonna hit him in the back? Who's going to make him wear one? Like, I thought the Mets were too accepting of his stupid dances and gyrations. Props to Clay Holmes. Attaboy.
Nice to see Jazz going deep. Freed, you know, you mentioned it before, BT, but it is worth mentioning again.
Yep.
Well, we talked about the Soto contract, and, you know, I believe it's worth every penny. We could disagree on that, but Soto been a beast this month. The one thing that we did agree on was Max Freed at the time. I don't even care that it was, what, the $218 million the Yanks had to give the extra year. They had a need. They were willing to go spend. I would not be a big investor in starting pitching, but if there were one guy that I would have invested in this offseason, it was Max Fried. He has been worth every penny for the Yanks.
That's what you need an ace for. That's why you have a stopper. Now, it doesn't guarantee that he's going to be up in rotation, like his turn of the rotation is going to be there when you need him in the postseason. It doesn't mean, if it is, that he's going to throw a gem in the postseason. We've seen a lot of great pitchers get knocked around in the play, including him. He's had a couple of spotty starts. But what it generally does do is ensure you that you avoid long losing streaks. That was really the old mantra. Like, all right, you know, we have so-and-so. We have Gibson getting the ball. Even Dwight Gooden. We've got, you know, Seaver. We know the names. Guidry. All right, losing streak over. You know, let's just get two. We don't need a lot of offense. And this guy's going to put up a bunch of zeros. And he does. And he is so smart. And he is so crafty. And his stuff is obviously great. Like, I think when you hear crafty and smart, you almost think that there's diminished stuff that he's getting by solely on guile. No, nonsense. He's the full package where his stuff is elite and his mind is just next level. He really is. I knew he was awesome. He's better than I thought.
The other thing that stood out to me from last night, and again, not to make a big deal because the Reds stink. I mean, I don't care what their record is. Kicking a ball all over the place. They're just sloppy to begin with in the beginning of that game yesterday, setting the table for the Yanks. But the other thing that stood out was Dominguez. Not only the four hits, but just his speed, dude. It is on. The guy hits a routine ground ball, and he's busting it out of the box at first base. Like, he should be, and maybe he will be as soon as this year, but he should be a much more impactful player. We focused on Volpe for a lot of the conversation here so far early in the season. You and I have focused on Wells. I know we've touched on Dominguez here, and he's such a young player and hasn't played a lot of baseball at the minor league level yet. But, dude, he should be a high-impact player for this Yankee team. I would not be surprised if he had a monster second half, but that could be the difference in taking this team to a World Series caliber level from where they're at now.
He really is a special athlete. Like, he is thick. He is explosive. Now, funny thing is, you know, if they go back to the spring training, Sal, we were worried, and I was worried too. I remember saying after, you know, two or three days of follies in left field, I'm like, you know what? Screw it. Just abort the mission here. Put him in center. Bellinger could adjust and put Belly in left here. And they didn't do that. But what we haven't seen is any follies really since. Now, I wouldn't say he's a standout elite left fielder. But he certainly hasn't embarrassed himself, nor has he hurt the Yankees out there. And this is what yet, and hopefully that continues. One of the reasons why I'm not sold on this roster, you know that, but I'm more bullish on it in terms of being certainly more athletic and a little more dynamic from a year ago. Like, Volpe can run. Now, we have to see how much he can hit, but Volpe can run. Jazz can run. Dominguez could fly. Bellinger can run. You know, obviously Judge is big and a little bit cumbersome, but, you know, he's scoring from a double, on a double from first base. He can sneaky steal the base there. He's got good wheels. Outside of when DJ plays the catcher, and Austin Wells is actually a very smart base runner, there's really not many. Even Goldschmidt's a very smart base runner. They have a pretty good balance of speed and intelligence, which is why the way they looked a week or so ago when they were tripping all over themselves, I didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah, but
on the bases.
The problem with that is the speed is only good if you have guys who put the bat on the ball and put the ball in play. Otherwise, what good is it?
Well, no, for sure.
Yeah, you could get Dominguez on base. That's great. But if you guys are striking out left and right, they're not going to do anything with it. So, and really, speed should not be his greatest asset for Dominguez. It is a great asset. It's nice that the Yankees have that. Obviously, you'd prefer to have that than not. He's got to start hitting with some power here. I mean, the fact that he's impacted four games, we're midway through the season, he's impacted four games with home runs, meaning he's got six on the year, but three came in one game against the A's in that minor league park.
Like, very surprising.
That's nowhere near good enough for Dominguez.
I agree. I thought by now, here we are, almost the 4th of July, I thought that there would have been at least four or five home runs where, like, wow, how...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
How far did that thing go? Is that 430? Is that 440? Is that 450? 460? Like, I haven't seen the tape measure shot yet. And, you know, and not that I need tape measure shots. I mean, just I'll take whatever you can get. But he was hyped up, and the scouting report was immense power and just a blur on the bases. We've seen the speed dynamic more than we've seen the power dynamic.
BT and Sal on the fans. Get back to the phones. 888-808-1019. The number to call. Greg is calling from Mayapack. What's up, Greg?
Thanks for taking the call, guys. BT, next year, when you get Cole back, you're going to have a little Randy Johnson-Curt Schilling combo there with the lefty-righty with Freed and Cole. I mean, 2001 Diamondbacks did pretty good with that, actually.
They did. And listen, don't forget about Hill. We haven't seen Hill yet. Now, we don't know.
Yeah,
we can't put him in that category, but, you know, Lewis
no,
has plus stuff.
Your top two is going to be pretty decent,
should
to
be.
Say the least. Regarding Soto, guys, it gave me a flashback to my brother-in-law took me to a 76ers Lakers game way back in the day. Allen Iverson was on the 76ers. In fact, it was a year they went to the finals and they lost to the Lakers. Shaq and Kobe. I forgot what year that was, but anyway,
2001, right?
Yeah, something like that, exactly. And I saw Michael Jordan play live for one time in Philly, and he took the game off. It was like in the middle of the season. He didn't care. At the end of the game, the guy still had like 25, sleepwalking through the game. Soto is the same type of greatness. You know, it might look like it ain't doing nothing, but at the end of the day, I think he's going to end up with 40 and 100, to be honest with you guys. I think
he better have 100. He's making $55 million a year.
And thank you for the call, Greg. Yeah, I mean, I'm not caught up on the numbers. I'm more worried about the impact. Obviously, the numbers are going to be, you know, somewhat, they are correlated with the impact that he would have. But I'm happy with Juan Soto. I'm happy the Mets spent every single penny. I would have spent more. I think he's worth more money than that. I'm happy with him defensively. I'm happy with him on the bases. I'm happy with every single at bat. I'm happy with his attitude. There is nothing to me that, other than the results of the first month or so, I could not be happier with the Juan Soto signing.
Well, I understand that, and I know why you say that, but I would also, and we don't know it until we get there. I think it's going to be very interesting to see where his numbers are. You know, there's the expectation, there's twofold. You know, change the profile of the Mets and now come in and do absolute destruction at the plate. Now, part of his destruction is of the quiet variety where he walks a lot, and that's obviously a big part. I mean, that's the main part of his greatness because he's not a career 300 hitter, and I don't know if he's a 500 home run, although he might hit 500. I think that Soto, to me, in year one, like if I'm a Mets fan and I'm watching the team, and yeah, it's more about the team than Soto, at least it should be from a team perspective. But if I'm sitting here in November and I'm looking back and he's 30, the home runs will be there because he's on a tear. But if I see 92 RBIs and he hits 283, I mean, what are we doing? We're throwing a parade? 280, like,
yeah,
I mean, come on, dude. Guy's got to hit 295 and drive it a $1.20.
He's a career 282 hitter. If he hit, would you say 285?
I think I said 282, 283.
I'd take that right now.
I mean, I know you take it, but, you know, to me, for me, the expectation, if the Yankees signed a guy who came with that reputation and that price tag, you better go, like, you better win the MVP. You better have a $1.20. RBIs, you better have an OPS of 1,000.
But that's a different, like, Pete may have a $1.20 RBI. He's not the player that Juan Soto is. So they're getting the run production from a different spot. By the way, having 90 RBI is not, like, that is significant run production. Combined with how many runs that he's going to score?
He's going to score a ton of runs.
Yeah, okay.
He's on pace for about 120-something runs. Scored a ton of runs.
Were you not happy with Soto's year last year?
I was very happy.
So he hit 288.
No, I was very happy,
yeah,
but there's
that's
no
what I'm saying.
No, I was very, and he also had a career high in home runs and RBIs,
right,
with 109 and 40 bombs. So no, I was happy, but what I'm saying is an amazing season versus a good season, or even to be fair, a really good season looks different.
If he hits 35 home runs and drives in 95 runs and hits 285, I mean, what do you expect him to be perfect every year? Like, that's almost career highs. So it's to me that, and obviously the walks there and the OPS and all that stuff.
Would you say 285, 35, and 90?
Yeah. Okay, so he's a little off the pace with the RBI.
285, 35, and 90. No, I got you. If I'm looking at those three right now, to me, there's no doubt he's going to have 35 home runs. I don't know if he's going to be a 285, I mean, that's flip a coin. He's not there very often, so it's not just a layup and say, yeah, he's going
to
do it.
Well, that would be the hardest one, I think, at this particular point to get to.
Was he at 260 now?
256.
All right, he's getting there. I mean, 90 RBIs. I guess I'm just stuck on the RBIs. Now, that's just a low number for somebody. And again,
he's been awful with runners in scoring positions.
Well, that's his fault. Ain't my fault. Ain't your fault. I mean, better and you're going to have more than 90 RBIs.
Okay, but he might. You think you could be better than what Juan Soto's been in June? Like I've seen
Aaron Judge have better months than this.
Okay, Aaron Judge is the best player in the world.
I mean, not many. Yeah. He's having a hell of a month. I give you that.
You give me that? You give me? He's been the best player in the sport for a month. You're gonna give me that? Oh, thank you.
Very nice concession on my part.
Good guy. He's having a month that. How many players do you think in the big leagues today?
Go ahead.
Are capable? Bobby Witt.
Yeah.
Hey, like you name them all. How many players, because there's probably three, maybe five, how many players do you think, to me they come to mind, Judge and Ohtani, how many players are capable of doing what Soto's done this month?
But now when you say capable, you're including the walks, right? Because
all of it.
I mean, listen, it's not a very long list, I promise you that, and I will concede that, sir, but I will also say this, I promise you, there's probably 30 guys in the major going to have more than 90 RBIs. And there's probably 20 guys who are going to hit more than 280-something. That's all I'm saying. Like, this comes back to the pushback of the word generational. I admit I am hung up on that. That bothers me. Like, the transcendent, which is with the on-base stuff. I get it. Jimmy Fox, you start getting these references, you're doing something right. But
that's the home runs for multi-home run games.
I know, but Jimmy Fox is an all-time name, man. So you got to tip the cap. And I'm actually wearing a hat today. You got to tip the cap. So I just did. But 90, let's say 91 RBIs. Let's say it's 281. I mean, I'm not saying it's not a good season, but that's what you're supposed to do. And then you're supposed to do, for me, with the contract, 15, 18, 20% more. That's just me.
Yeah, I'm not worried about living up to the contract. That's just, to me, foolish. And he is, at least in my mind, living up to the contract. But you want to go pound for pound, dollar for dollar, who's exceeding their value, whatever it may be. I don't worry about that. I'm not cutting the checks. There's no salary cap. Steve Cohen's not going to let it prevent him from getting somebody else. They needed to pay what they did to land this megastar. And after starting out slow and not looking like himself, he is now performing like a superstar that he is. And that's all. I'm good with it. I mean, from a Met fan perspective, he is the best player. And maybe some people disagree with this. I really don't care. He's the best offensive player that has ever put on a New York Met uniform. End of story. And he's only been here for 3 months.
Oh, I agree with that. But there's also a few things baked into that. There's a few side exits there.
Well, I love Piazza. Piazza's a Hall of Famer. You know, Beltran, I think, is going to be a Hall of Famer, and I love him. Lindor could have won the MVP a year ago. Like, he's a terrific player. Pete has had his moments
at home.
Right. I mean, you name them all. Strawberry. This is a different animal.
I agree. No, I agree. And by the way, just to follow that up, so last year, Brandon Nimmo had 90 RBIs. Now, right. Good for Brandon Nimmo, but I'm sorry. I expect Juan Soto to have 15, 20, 25, 30 more than Nimmo. And oh yeah, by the way, last year, 26 players in baseball had 90 RBIs or more. That's all I'm saying.
I think 110 would be, or whatever, 105, somewhere like that. Soto's career high is 110 in RBI, and he had 109 the last 2 years consecutively. He is as consistent as they come. Some years you're going to hit 40. Some years you're going to hit 35. Like, that's not going to be on the button every single year. 35, 40, all right, what's really the difference? Yeah, 40 is great, but like, if you hit 35, it's not that big of a deal. Same thing for me, 100, 110, whatever. And then maybe he ends up with that. Maybe he ends up with 90. Would that be a little short? Okay, in his first year, I'd still take it.
You know,
he's not a 120 ribby guy.
I know, but I guess what I'm saying is he should be for that money.
But he's not.
Well, I understand that. Keep calling him generational?
Now, when I would say, like, he led the league in runs scored a year ago, I know he had Judge behind him, he should be on par with the top.
He's going to be up there. He might do that this year. Okay. He's on pace for like 125, 130. He's got a lot.
Same thing with the walks.
Like, yeah, I know.
He should be. What he does is lead the league in runs or be up there, lead the league in walks, or certainly, top two, three, whatever. Have monster power numbers as far as the home run goes. 90, 100 RBI, I mean.
Listen, here's one thing, though. So, now you got to be honest with me with this. Yeah. All right? We grow up, baseball cards, This Week in Baseball. We know all the names. We don't have to run through the names. You and I are both very good with stats. You maybe more so when you were younger. You don't care about them. Okay, but I know you knew them back then.
Yeah.
You know the great players.
30 to 100, right.
You know the neighborhoods in which the Bretts and the Donnies when he was healthy and the Gwynns and the Boggs for the average and all the Kirby. We know all the names. He hits 281 this year. Don't tell me it was an amazing season.
But that's a career. That's his career average.
Well, like, then he's got to get a little better for me to start saying that you're up there with, whatever.
You want him to be something he's not.
Can you hit 295?
Maybe 1 year. He did it 1 year, but that was a short year. He had,
I think he had like 330 that one short year.
Yeah, 350 the shortened year.
Yeah, I also had 246 in a full year.
He hit 313 in 2021.
Dude, I'm not trying to dog the guy. Yeah. I'm really not.
And 292 in 2018 his rookie year, but that was only 116 games.
Yep, I promise. For those who are hearing this, I'm not trying to dog Juan Soto. All I'm saying is that contract, that hype, that reaction, don't hit 281. Come on. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that.
51 or 52?
52. Whoa. I don't like that tone. Take it easy, man.
No,
that's
I'm saying because yesterday we came up. Yesterday I was like, because I remember for your 50th birthday, I think we just got paired together like after that.
We did. We did.
Yeah, okay. So right after you had turned 50. Uh-huh. So then I remember, we've been together almost, 2 years, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So that's why yesterday when I was like, we were talking about music or whatever. And I'm like, I'm 45, you're 51.
Yeah, I wasn't going to correct you. I was still 51 yesterday. I was hanging on to it as long as I could. Come on, that's a veteran move right there. What? No, Sal, I'm going to be 52 tomorrow, Sal. Yeah. 51 for another day.
Anything special planned today or what?
A couple things. Obviously, Jen did a nice thing like when I woke up. We just have a nice tradition with the island the kitchen. What's that?
How nice.
Not nice enough with an 8 and a 10-year-old run around like a couple of knuckleheads.
That's fair.
And she had, she got me this golf shirt. She had a couple things lined up. And I don't like to make it about me. I really don't. So I just get a little embarrassed. I try to deflect. I didn't really want to even open anything yet in the morning.
All right.
But no, she always goes all out, and so do the kids. And my daughter's got a softball game tonight, which I'll be at.
Okay.
She had one last night as well. My son's got like a mini camp football. They're doing football conditioning already. So we've got a lot of things. But then we're going to hibachi after it.
Oh, nice. Okay.
A little punctuation at the end of the night. Daddy have a little sake. And then,
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe
tranquilize the kids and
I get it. And maybe you get a little Soto sake too. And Soto can maybe homer for your birthday tonight. That would be
Soto sake.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you, dude. I appreciate that.
BT and Sal, all the fan, 888-808-1019. The number to call. Back to the phones. Kevin is calling from Oakland, New Jersey. What's on your mind today, Kev?
Hey, Kev.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Awesome job. What I like about you guys is, Sal, you think, you don't think, you speak first, which is what I do a lot of the time, but you shoot from the hip, and BT, you're usually a little bit more diplomatic about things, but you guys are great together. Soto is going to be Soto. You know, BT, you were just saying that if he has an all right year, you know, you take that depending on how the team does.
Mm-hmm.
If the team, you know, does crappy and he has a great year, what good is it? What I was talking to Hop about is I think the Mets need to go out and make a big swing, like a Herschel Walker deal for a top pitcher. I would love them to give up whoever and everybody for Paul Skeens. You know, the Pirates aren't probably going to do something like that, but, you know, he's going to have Tommy John at some point. And, you know, they can get, you know, give up the farm for him if you need him. What do you guys think?
Well, that fits with what I've been saying. The Mets need to make a massive trade. I'm more of the mindset it's got to be a bat. But if you can get Skeens, you give up whatever it takes.
Yeah, I mean, Skeens. Look, here's the way that I would address the Skeens talk. If and when it is realistic that he becomes available, then anybody that's worth anything in Big League Baseball, and both of our teams are, with the Mets and Yankees, should be involved in trying to get him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a different animal. So it's not like, well, I wouldn't give up prospects for a pitcher, I wouldn't invest in pitching. If a guy like that becomes available, you do whatever it takes in your organization's power to get him. The Mets could say, well, we'll give up everything we've got. What do you want? Pick. And the Pirates could say, nah, we like the Yankees farm better or whatever, but that's what it should be. It shouldn't be, well, no, I'm going to hold on to this guy. If Skeens becomes available, it is obvious that both teams should do whatever it takes to get him.
I would agree. I think given the length of some of these longer-term contracts for the Yankees, it might prohibit them from doing that, even though he's not eligible for the big, you know, big extension yet. I'm sure that he's going to have, you know, years bought out, pre-arbitration, whatever. There's no doubt. He's the biggest fish in the ocean, and you got to try to reel them in. But from a Pirates, not that we really care, but just a thought, from the Pirates' perspective, like if you trade him...
Fold-up shop.
Yeah, I mean, if he goes to the Yankees, the Mets, the Dodgers, the Phillies, maybe one other high-profile team, close the doors, man. How do you sell that to your fan base? If you're going to reroute him, at least reroute him to a team, I don't know, that just doesn't have the profile of the teams that I just mentioned. That would be despicable.
The only thing is that you can make an argument because they're so inept as a franchise that the best thing for the franchise is to get a boatload back. So wherever it is that he goes, as long as you maximize the return, it could turn your franchise around for the 2 or 3 year window that you have before those guys hit free agency and then move on. But that would be the goal there.
Depressing.
But I also agree with you in that outside of Skeens, realistically, that if I'm going to make a big move, I think it has to be a bat for the Mets. I'm okay with the pitching. Would I like an ace, a true ace? Sure. Will it? Now it's going to be. We need to see it play out here in the postseason. Will it be proven that they're going to need an ace to get through the playoffs and win a World Series? It might be. We know that's not going to be the Yankees' issue. Yankees might have other issues as far as scoring runs, whatever, in key spots. They have the ace. Maybe two with Hill coming back. Maybe three next year if everything goes well and you have Cole. The Mets don't have that clear shutdown number one guy in the postseason.
No, they don't. They don't.
But do you need that anymore in today's game?
I don't think that you need it as much as you used to. That's something you and I have talked about. But I also do think that they need it moving forward at some point. Like, Kershaw is no longer the same guy. We know that. But Clayton Kershaw was basically our version of Sandy Koufax. Like, we got to watch Koufax. And I just think that the great teams, the teams that every year are 95, 97, 98 wins, if not more, which the Dodgers have been, you need a guy like that. Yankees CC, Yankees Guidry, Yankees, you know, Pettit, although Pettit wasn't quite that. But Clemens, like, they've had guys like that. The Mets had young pitchers like that, whether it was Doc or obviously the trio back in the day with the 2015 World Series. I think they're piecing it together effectively. And I give them credit for that, for being resourceful. But there's got to be a little common middle ground here. You're going to need that flame-throwing, dominant stuff guy.
Here's my problem with it. Like, obviously you want that because it builds a foundation. when you have that type of horse in your rotation every 5 days, you have a foundation that no matter what happens with the other four, I know Fried's going to be out there every fifth day giving me 7 innings, 2 runs max, and giving me a chance to win a game and reset here.
Mm-hmm. The bullpen, et cetera.
The problem is those guys are either far and few between in today's game, or you can't rely on them staying healthy. So not only are you paying a ridiculous amount to get them, it's hard to get them healthy. Like, the Yankees have been not lucky, but they were smart with the investment of Gerrit Cole.
No doubt.
And even with that, he's still obviously hurt and was compromised last year or whatever. And now it's year one of Max Fried, and for now it looks good. But
CC worked out well.
CC worked out well. Like, there have been the few, of course. Max Scherzer with the Nationals was a great signing. The Mets tried that with older guys, but still they tried it with Verlander and Scherzer. They had DeGrom. Even DeGrom now, like, yeah, last night he almost throws a no-hitter. Great, he's been great. But, like, would you be surprised in 4 starts from now if DeGrom gets hurt? Like,
I would be, because he's already had multiple surgeries. I would be a little bit surprised, even though that sounds crazy, because he's always hurt.
He's always hurt. That's my point. And it's not just him. The high-end pitchers are hard to rely on because they're often hurt. Speaking of injuries, Saya is calling from Queens. What's up, Saya? What's up, Saya?
Hey. How you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
I got 2 things about basketball, but before I get to that, I just want to give you guys your flowers real quick. Sal, I have to let you know, I've listened to you guys all year. You have no ceiling, my guy. I mean, you are an incredible listen. I'm enamored with everything you say and how you treat your picks. And BT, man, what I go? I'm 37. I've listened to you since I was 19, man.
Wow.
Like, you are a guru, like a wordsmith. Everything, you and Stephen A are my guys. Like, I get all my word knowledge from you guys.
We appreciate that.
Thank you, dude.
Nice.
Very kind, man.
Well, but things about basketball is, number one, you said about the Knicks. Who are we, who Leon Rose is married to, Jalen Brunson, Carl Anthony Towns. I got news for you. We are gathered here today because his 2 favorite clients are going to be the face of the New York Knicks for the next 5 years.
No.
And number two,
you talk about Towns and Brunson.
Oh, I see. I thought he was coming with another name. No, I was hoping there was another name there. Okay, I got you.
But the whole thing about these Achilles injuries, this is the craziest thing. I'm about to shake the room real quick. I got to park up for this. Listen to this. So you know how this Game 7 went down with Halliburton injuring his Achilles,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course, 100%.
And the news with Adam Silver was telling us about how 7 injuries happened this year that haven't happened in the last year, the previous year, right?
Yep.
So what's the nuance? What's the whole thing that's changed in the last couple of years, right? The play-in tournament.
Mm. Well,
if you don't play that extra game, who knows if that game 7 he's available to play. And what happened? They won that tournament, right? The Pacers.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going there.
Yeah, I think that's a stretch, Saya. We appreciate the call and the kind words. Get back to us. We would like you to be a regular on the show. But I think that's a bit of a stretch, BT.
I do, too.
Oh, most of those games are built in the schedule anyway. So what is the one extra game that they play? I don't even know. The NBA in-season tournament.
That would be more than one. It's more than one. It's like a pool thing.
But I'm saying the majority of those games, aren't they just built into the schedule?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I think it's one more, an 83rd, I think. No, I'm not going to go there. I think it's attributable to a lot. I think, number one, I think there's a ridiculous amount of training. I get it, plyometrics and box jumps and explosive, but you have to do that when you're 9? A lot of these kids are, number one. Number two, the game is a lot faster, so you're just, you know, planting and cutting and moving and jumping, and the dexterity required just to keep up is much more than it was, you know, when Bird and, you know, even Magic wasn't an amazing athlete. He wasn't like this blur. He was a little more plodding. Granted, at 6'9", he could handle, but he wasn't like jumping above you and twisting and like MJ on a dime. So I think the athleticism has obviously changed. I don't know. For some reason, a lot of these guys are wearing low-cut sneakers. Probably not the smartest thing in the world to do. So I think that there's a lot of reasons for it. You know, maybe I don't know if guys still take creatine, but protein does have a tendency to dry out like ligaments and soft tissue things. And when it dries out, I think you're a little more susceptible to a tear or a full rupture. Just a few thoughts. I'm not a doctor, but it's obvious. It's a the Achilles became a real issue.
Yeah, right. It's a problem. It's to a level where it was a problem.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.